This is a reading of the two books that are in one container, entitled The Way of Self-Knowledge and The Threshold of the Spiritual World. They are the collected works numbers 16 and 17 in one volume. This is the last part of A Way of Self-Knowledge, the first book in the section, and it is the afterword to the 1918 edition. Practicing the second of these meditations makes it clear, and later meditations make it even clearer, that this path of the soul decisively rejects all so-called clairvoyance associated with bodily illness or abnormality. The path of soul described here excludes all visionary or mediumistic phenomena arising from such conditions. Even sensory perception and the thinking based upon it represents a higher realm than the inner state from which such soul contents come. For in perception and thinking, a person lives more fully in the supersensory realm and depends less upon the body than when a disordered soul life leads the soul astray by presenting the content of processes originally intended to serve the body. These processes deviate from their natural tasks in a distorted way, leading to ideas that are based neither in objective perceiving nor in active willing. Among the soul functions of normal consciousness, only thinking can free itself from perception and lead to independent activity unconditioned by abnormal bodily processes. Clairvoyant vision, as I use the term, does not sink below thinking into deeper organic processes. Rather, it rises to realms that begin with thinking, when thinking is inwardly illuminated by the soul and controlled by the will. From such self-controlled thinking, the soul develops clairvoyant vision as it is meant here. Thinking is the paradigm for vision. What these meditations describe as supersensory vision is, however, essentially different from ordinary thinking and leads to an experience of supersensory worlds that thinking alone cannot enter. But the life that unfolds in such vision is none other than the life developed within thinking. The soul must live in its supersensory visions and illuminations with the same consciousness with which it lives in a thought and moves from one thought to another. The relationship of the soul to these visions is essentially different from its relationship to ordinary thoughts. Certainly, supersensory vision has a psychic connection to its corresponding reality that is similar to the connection memory has to the experience of reality that it is recalling. But during the activity of supersensory seeing, the power of memory itself plays no role in the soul. What you have once imagined, you can remember again, even if the imagination is pure fantasy. Still, unless you have developed another power, in addition to the power of vision, one that allows you to recreate in the soul the same conditions that led to the vision, what you experienced in clairvoyant vision disappears from consciousness the moment the vision ceases. You can remember the conditions, and through them repeat the vision, but you cannot directly recall the vision. Whoever has attained the necessary insight in these matters can use it as a means of cognizing the reality that corresponds to the vision. You can recall a perception or an experience without having the experience or the perception again when you remember it. Similarly, when you remember a vision, the remembered vision does not itself contain the real content of the vision. From this, you can recognize that the supersensory reality corresponding to the vision is no more illusory than perception is in sensory reality. People can easily fall into error here if they have not familiarized themselves sufficiently with the nature of such visions, and therefore judge reports of these things on the basis of their preconceptions. They think that what arises in clairvoyant consciousness has to do with the play of fantasy, or an interweaving of ideas overflowing from the unconscious depths of the soul like vague memories. Those who make such judgments do not know that genuine clairvoyant consciousness exists only in contents of the soul that by their nature cannot go down to the organic depths, and that as soon as they arise, resist being grasped by the power of memory. the natural course of clairvoyant life differs from that of ordinary soul life in important ways. In everyday soul life, for instance, practice or familiarity plays a fruitful role. Repeated performance of an act increases the ability to perform that act skillfully. How could we progress in life, art, or any kind of learning if we could not increase our proficiency through practice? But this is not the case with the acquisition of clairvoyant vision. Someone who has a supersensory experience does not become that much more skillful a second time. In fact, precisely because someone has had an experience once, that experience will in the future be elusive. The experience, in a sense, tries to flee. Therefore, in order to repeat a supersensory experience, one must undertake specific exercises to strengthen the powers of the soul. The soul must be stronger the second time than the first. This is a source of bitter disappointment for beginners on the path to the supersensory. Those who undertake the exercises for strengthening the soul's powers described in this book can easily have supersensory experiences. At first, they may become joyful about their progress, but they will soon notice that they cannot repeat the same experiences. Then their souls feel empty in relation to the supersensory. What they then realize is that the efforts that led to an initial experience do not lead to a second one. Instead, stronger, often quite different efforts are necessary. However difficult it is, one must win through to the realization that the laws of supersensory experience are often different from, even contrary to, those of physical experience. But one must not therefore conclude that knowledge of supersensory experience can arise simply by thinking about the corresponding sensory processes in reverse. How things stand in each case must be discovered through supersensory experience in each individual case. Another characteristic of supersensory experience is that these visions light up for clairvoyant consciousness for only a barely measurable moment. One could say that the instant they arise, they are already gone. This means that only a quick awareness, an agile adjustment of attention, leads to noticing a genuine vision. Those who have not developed in their souls this agility of consciousness, coupled with an attitude of attention, may have visions, but they will have no knowledge of them. That is why so many people deny the existence of the supersensory world. Supersensory experience is really much more widespread than people usually think. Interaction with the spiritual world is actually something quite common and universal. But the ability to follow this interaction cognitively, with one's power of consciousness working swiftly, is won only with difficulty. You can prepare yourself for this capacity if you practice forming a rapid overview of the consequences of certain life situations and then acting accordingly. The habit of repeatedly reconsidering and hesitating over a decision, should I or shouldn't I, results in lost time and procrastination, and it leaves one ill-prepared for observing the spiritual world. But those who develop the capacity for maintaining in life the appropriate presence of mind will bring something essential and necessary to supersensory experience. If we were to gain and use the faculty for supersensory experience without changing ourselves first, then we would be unable to fulfill our daily tasks. Only when they develop out of a healthy life in sensory reality can suprasensory capacities be acquired in a healthy way. If you turn your back on that life, or believe you can approach the suprasensory world through eccentric peculiarities, you are on the wrong path. True clairvoyant vision has the same relationship to the processes of normal consciousness as normal consciousness has to sleep consciousness, whose content arises before the soul as dreams. Just as unhealthy sleep disturbs and undermines normal consciousness, so healthy clairvoyant vision cannot rest upon the foundation of a negative or impractical attitude toward normal life. The more firmly you stand in life and the more you understand your tasks in intellectual, feeling, moral, or social existence, the healthier will be the soul capacities that you can then bring to an experience of suprasensory worlds. The meditations in this book speak of that kind of healthy clairvoyant vision. You will find nothing that is visionary, diseased, or fantastic, in the usual sense, on this path to knowledge of the supersensory world. The end of part one, A Way of Self-Knowledge.